Good morning. I always like to give an extra 30 seconds of grace in case I'm arriving late. Good morning and welcome. Let's start by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together to concentrate on you. Help us to hear you, to enjoy you, to learn more about you, to be comforted, reassured, and strengthened by you. In Jesus' name. So, my name is Brendan. Welcome to you all on behalf of Sandbach Baptist Church. I'll explain things as we go along, but here are a few pointers. We're here to meet God, so we will have some prayers, and they will be led from the front by me and Alistair later. We'll also praise God with singing. So the words will be on the screen and most people stand and join in, but feel free to stay seated or remain silent as you like. There will be a Bible reading, a saying of Jesus. It'll be on screen so you can follow it, and then our minister Alistair will explain it. After Alistair, we'll have communion, and we'll be sharing bread and wine in memory of Jesus, like he told us to. And if you'd like to remember Jesus in that way, you're very welcome to do so with us. For the regular activities of the church, there is the newsletter. It comes by email, and that's got everything about what's happening on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday through the week, which is just as important in terms of the church activity as what we do on Monday. Normally there's some printed out, but there was no one available to do the printing this week. So George, I think, will have them printed for BAP tomorrow.
Yeah.
Some bring from BAP. So if you haven't got them today, you'll have that then. There are three other important notices. One, the Nevin tents are all up. Another minor miracle on behalf of the Hill family. There will be tea, coffee and biscuits afterwards, and maybe even, I was going to say, that deserves a round of applause. I think probably you'll get a drink of cold water too, if you would like. And lastly, fire exits. Here and here. No one ever thinks they'll need one. The only time I've ever used a fire exit in church, I may have said this before, is as we started to sing the hymn, God speaks through the earthquake, wind and fire. And then we were told, leave the church as the smoke billowed in. Right. We're now going to...
Hugh needs help with the coffee.
I beg your pardon. Hugh needs help with the coffee. He's on his own volunteering. So please, someone volunteer to help him with the coffee, or tea, or biscuits. And now we'll go to our first song from The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable.
Righteousness, give me hope again. I will follow my Emmanuel. Through the man's betrayal. He was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost.
Please sit down. Now we do not have a PowerPoint because the PowerPoint will not run on the technology, despite Mark's best efforts. So instead, we have the bits of media from the PowerPoint, and I'll do the linking in. Can we have, Mark, the first hearing of the mystery sound? Oh, it's not that. O1 mystery sound. So what is it? Rain on a lake, maybe. Very good. Wrong, but very good.
A dishwasher,
even better. Sounds like our dishwasher. Come again. Can we have that again? Okay. Louder. Can we have it louder? Wildfire. The crackling of the bracken. It could be, but it's not. Okay. Fantastic. Wrong. Hugh.
Just a guess. There's a picture of cattle going along earlier on. I just wanted the sound of loads of cattle.
Oh, Hugh, the countryman. We heard this. Yeah, rural guy. So we heard this at midnight, going outside our house. This was I have to say, I didn't record it at the time. I recorded the same thing later. But this is escaped cows. In panic, running down the road in the pitch black. Not yet. And so I heard the sound. I thought, what on earth is that? And I thought about rain. I thought about even applause at the cricket match. But it wasn't that either. It was escaped cows. I ran downstairs. I rang the farmer first. Then I rang downstairs and there was nothing in the lane. So I got in the car and I drove slowly down the lane, nothing to see. And then the cows heard me coming. And they all turned their heads together. And there in the darkness were these hundreds of bright cat's eyes reflecting back my headlights. Then the farmer arrived and he said, I'll have them back in the field by tomorrow morning. And cue the next picture. There they are. Again, it's a fiction. This isn't the next morning, but it's the same field and it's the same cows. And pause that. But we'll come to that in a minute. So what? Those cows are now happy and safe. They're in the field, they've got grass, they've even got the sunshine. But what's the secret? What makes a cow safe and secure in its field? Cue the video. What makes the cow safe is the gate. When it's closed, it protects them. It stops thieves and robbers coming in. It stops them getting out at night and being exposed to the darkness on the road. But those cows were waiting at the corner because they knew that gates were not just a barrier. Gates open. And they are now all going down to the pasture just down the road where there is even more grass. And they're very excited. This is for them, this is a new joy and a new adventure. And that's what the gate opened onto them. So a gate is the key. A gate provides protection, but it also provides freedom. And we have managed without our PowerPoint. Jesus, as we just sang, was born in a borrowed stable. He was visited by shepherds. He and his listeners grew up surrounded by livestock and people who cared for them. Sheep, goats, camels, cows. As you see, I only had pictures of cows. So it was no surprise then that when he wanted to teach, when he wanted to explain things, he used what was familiar to the people he was talking to. He talked about sheep, and he talked about shepherds and pastures and thieves and robbers, and he talked about a gate. We're now going to go to our reading, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And Alistair will explain, take lessons from this reading when he comes to preach later. For now, we're going to sing three songs. And in the third, we're going to take the collection. And that will be the time to for the children to go out, if there are any, and if they're going out. Okay, we're going to start off with "From Heaven You Came."
There is
see his hands and his feet. The scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God. Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us down to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to
to sing.
He's the way to heaven. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted.
So Heavenly Father, everything we are and have has come from you. So this offering is just a repayment in part, a small part of all that we own. And we pray for how we use it, how it's used in the church, for your work. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So, Father God, we do hallow your name. We recognize your goodness, your grace, your kindness to us and to all of your creation. We thank you. And we pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. We pray this in the big things. We pray for peace in Ukraine, Gaza, Congo, Myanmar, and the many other places where there is conflict. We pray for the peacemakers, that you will bless their work and keep them strong. We pray for truth in politics and in cultural battles where it seems so lacking. We pray that people will speak the truth in love and that we will recognize the truth when we hear it. We pray for comfort and recovery in disasters, crashes, heat waves, floods. We see them on the news. So easy to forget there are people behind those headlines. We ask you to bless them. We pray that love of our neighbours, not selfishness, nor love of money, nor love of power, will drive the decisions of our leaders. We pray for their wisdom and their integrity. But we pray for local matters. We pray for our own congregation, as mentioned in the newsletter. We pray for George going back and forth between Leighton and the care home. We pray for Kay keeping up and managing things at home. We pray for energy and assurance for them. We pray for Helen's recent diagnosis as well, and we pray especially for her, for guidance and wisdom in regard to treatment. We pray for Sue, a successful lot, but still in pain. We pray for healing and perseverance and patience for her. We pray for many others in the fellowship who are not actually in the newsletter this week. And we pray for others beyond who feel in need just now, that they will know your love and support and grace and strength with them. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Alistair as he speaks to us now. Please give him the gift of your words and give us the gift of hearing them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Can we get the lights, please? Thank you. We often come across gates, don't we? Many of us have front gates or back gates, maybe not quite like that one. If you fly from Terminal 2 at Manchester Airport, you will depart from, one of 16 gates. If you've driven to church this morning, you drove through the school gates. If you're a fan of science fiction, there are even stargates that will take you to distant galaxies. Well, this morning we're continuing with... Whoops-a-daisy. No idea what's happened here. I've got this, Mark. As I was saying... Fantastic. We're continuing with our series looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And these I Am sayings tell us so many wonderful things about the person and the mission of Jesus. And this morning, we are looking at the third I Am saying of Jesus. We've already had some hints of what it might be, and it's these amazing words. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." So in the days of Jesus, most towns and villages had a sheep pen. And the sheep pen was a large communal enclosure. And several shepherds would keep their flocks together in the sheep pen. A guard would be hired, a watchman. And the watchman would be at the gate, the only gate of the enclosure, to keep the sheep safe during the night. The watchman would know the real shepherds. The real shepherds would know the watchman. So in the morning, when the real shepherds came to get their sheep, they'd be allowed into the enclosure to summon their flock. Of course, anybody who is dressed in black, maybe wearing a mask, maybe sneaking round the back during the night, maybe climbing over the wall, is clearly up to no good. So, Jesus says, "I am the gate." The very short and important point is simply this: Jesus is the only way to God. The one and only Saviour. And look what Jesus says, verse 8. "All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. So, who are the thieves and robbers who've come before Jesus, do you think?" Well, Jesus probably has in mind the various leaders who emerged during his lifetime. We might call them the charismatic warlords, the revolutionary leaders, the freedom fighters who want to set Israel free from the imperial yoke of Rome. And of course, they'd exploit the messianic expectations of the people. They'd offer them peace and prosperity for life. Some of them even claim the title Messiah. Or shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but the shepherd. So when Jesus says, "All who've come before me are thieves and robbers," he's saying that all those who've come before me, all those who claim the title shepherd or Messiah, are imposters. And their violent methods are evidence of their imposture. But I'm the only gate. I'm the only one who has the right to be called Messiah, shepherd. I'm the only one who can lead you into the kingdom of heaven. And it's important to recognize who Jesus is talking to here. Amongst others, he's talking to the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees claim for themselves? Well, they claim to be shepherds of Israel. shepherds of Israel. And yet they too have to enter through the gate. Who is Jesus, if they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven? It's a sobering reminder, isn't it? If you want to bring other people into the sheepfold, obviously you've got to enter through the gate yourself. Richard Baxter was an influential Anglican church leader from the 17th century. And he was once addressing a lot of Anglican clergymen. And this is what he said. Some of you as shepherds offer the bread of life to men and women, yet you've never yourselves entered into the provision that God has made by means of this bread. Can you see what he's saying? He's saying if you're offering them bread, but you've not tasted it yourself. You're talking about the gate. You haven't even gone through it yourself. So maybe it shouldn't surprise us today, tragically, there are people standing up like me in front of congregations who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Unconverted vicars, priests, pastors, ministers, Bible college lecturers, professors of religious studies, Sunday school teachers. They're trying to offer the bread, but they haven't tasted it themselves. They're talking about a gate, but they've never entered through the gate to Christ. And Jesus said, all who've come before me are thieves and robbers. But look what he adds. The sheep have not listened to them. So these, remember who we're talking about, the charismatic warlords, the freedom fighters, the revolutionary leaders, they're attracting all sorts of people, all types of followers, loads and loads of supporters, offering them so much. But the sheep, the true followers of Christ, they don't listen to them because they don't recognize the voice of a stranger. And of course, today, it doesn't need me to tell you, there are all sorts of ideas out there, all sorts of voices. They'll tell you anything. They'll tell you all about life. They'll tell you about religion. They'll tell you what to believe. You are saturated by voices out there. And look what some people have said, a few celebrities for you. This is Nicole Kidman. I'm a whole bunch of religions. It's not one definite thing. So there's a bit of Scientology, Catholicism, Judaism, and the Western philosophies. I take a bit of each. I'm a hybrid. Can you see what's happening? Here's someone listening to all the voices around them. Uri Geller, remember Uri Geller, British Israeli illusionist. I saw someone already shaking his head as I said that name. Here's Uri Geller. I believe in one God for all religions. Jesus was born a Jew. I often talk to my dead father. I get signs from him all the time. There's definitely life after death. I want to come back as a sparrow. Who wouldn't want to fly? We laugh, but can you see what's happening? Here's someone listening to all the voices around them. Here's the next one. Richard Dawkins, always eminently quotable, comes out with all sorts. Rather than say he's an atheist, a friend of mine says I'm a tooth fairy agnostic, meaning he can't disprove God, but thinks God is about as likely as the tooth fairy. Here's someone else listening to all the voices around them. You know, what really hit me about this passage is one of the indications that you are a true Christian, that you're a true follower of Christ, that you are a true disciple who trusts in Jesus and only in Jesus, is who and what you listen to and who and what you don't listen to. I mean, as we've seen, there are all kinds of voices calling us all kinds of directions, offering us all kinds of fixes. There will be good, bad, and ugly in all of them. But the true follower of Jesus listens to the voice of the shepherd. And the sheep given by the Father to the Son have spiritual discernment. One of the signs, one of the indications, one of the evidences that a person has become a Christian is that they're able to say, well, once I was lost in a multitude of people, calling me this way, that way, the other way. Once I was blind, I thought I had all the answers, I thought I had a handle on life, I thought I had everything sorted out. Once I was listening to all the voices around me, but the things I once trusted in, the things I once listened to, the things I once believed in, I no longer believe in. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. If you want to ask yourself whether you're a true Christian, whether you ever made that commitment to Christ, ask yourself, who are you listening to? Who's influencing your life? Is it the shepherd, or is it a thousands and one others' voices all around us? Some of you may have read some or all of the Chronicles of Narnia, seven books, I think, isn't it, by C.S. Lewis. This is book number six, The Silver Chair. Jill, in the book, is having a conversation with Aslan. You probably remember Aslan is normally seen as an allegorical representation of Jesus. And Jill is wondering whether she can come to Aslan and get a drink. And she's a bit worried about that, because Aslan is pretty big. He's pretty majestic and mighty and powerful with his mane and his majesty. And eventually Jill says this, well, you know, it is so scary that I daren't come and drink. Then if you don't come and drink, you'll die of thirst, said Aslan. Oh dear, said Jill, coming another step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. There is no other stream, there is no other gate. And the short and simple point is simply this: Jesus is the only gate to God. And look at the blessings that come to us when we go through the gate. Here's the first, most obvious one. Blessing of salvation. Look at these simple words, but so powerful. I am the gate, said Jesus. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And entering into God's fold means trusting in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And as we've already hinted, that is a risk so many people are not prepared to take. They would rather hedge their bets with a portfolio of religious options, picking this one, picking that one, picking the other one. But there's no other stream, no other gate, no other way to be saved. So again, the $64,000 question every single one of us always has to ask ourselves: have I entered through that gate? Have I trusted in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation? Have I gone through the gate into the enclosure, the kingdom of heaven? And isn't this the main reason we support the work of Tekura in Albania? BMS World Mission, Home Mission, Open Doors, Tear Fund. Isn't this why we're involved in the food pantry, the food bank? Isn't this why we serve people at Welcome Back on a Monday morning, and TOTS and Urban Saints and Messy Church? Isn't this why we pray for our family and our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues? Isn't this why you seek to be salt and light wherever you are, sharing your faith with Christ, in Christ with others? Why do we do what we do? I really hope that the main reason is because Jesus is the only stream, the only gate, the only way of salvation. And the commission to us, of course, is go and make disciples of all nations. Blessing of salvation. Here's another blessing, the blessing of life in all its fullness. Look at these words. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I mean, the contrast couldn't be clearer. The thief comes and he steals and kills and destroys. Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the full, delivering us from the consequences of our foolish choices, setting us free from the grip and hold of sin, leading us into those green pastures of life in the kingdom of heaven, abundant life forever. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know whether this ever struck you, or have you thought along these lines. When the average person in our country thinks about Christians, do you think they think about them in terms of life in all its fullness? You should meet my friend at work. He's a Christian. Wow, talk about life in all its fullness. You should meet my friend at the fitness class. She's a Christian. So genuine, so kind, so loving. Faith just shines out of her. I have no idea what's wrong with her. Must be some sort of abundant life form or something like that. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? You wonder whether, now speaking generally here, whether our evangelism and mission falter, not because people aren't convinced that what we say isn't true, but the way that we convey it and the way we conduct ourselves seems to be terribly dull in contrast to the abundant life. I wonder sometimes if we give the impression that to be a Christian is to walk down a narrow road, through a gate, into an enclosure that's more like living in a cage, rather than the abundant life that Christ offers. I was just so challenged with those words. Why, when people look at Christians, do they not see people who've got abundant life and say, I want some of that? One of my favourite stories from New Testament is this one. Woman at the well, John 4. Here she is, and she's got that wretched water pot again. She had carried it all the way from her home to the well yesterday. She's carrying it all the way from her home to the well today. She will carry it all the way from her home to the well tomorrow. But no matter how often she fills up that water pot, it's always empty again. And the biggest tragedy of all was that that wretched water pot is just like her life. Because no matter what she does on the outside, she's always empty on the inside. Of course, she had hoped that love and marriage would make her life worth living. And every time she starts a new relationship, she thinks to herself, well, this is it. At last, I've got a life worth living. At last, I've met Mr. Right. But reading between the lines, it looks like every relationship turns sour. Mr. Right turned out to be Mr. Wrong, and now she's giving Elizabeth Taylor a run for her money. Married 5 times, and the man she's now living with isn't her husband. And as for the future, well, that wasn't worth thinking about really, was it? Age would steal her beauty. Who's going to be interested in the likes of her? She'll be left all alone. So here she is at the well, yet again, with that water pot that, of course, is empty. And it's just like her life, empty. And then she enters into conversation with Jesus. And what does Jesus say to her? Amongst other things, he says this: everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is not some stagnant pool, is it? It's not some dirty river that United Utilities have poured who knows what into. It's not some dried up lake. This is a spring of water, bubbling over, sparkling, living water, welling up to eternal life that comes from a relationship with Christ. Of course, a little bit later on, the people in her town, back home, are absolutely amazed when she turns up. Remember what she says? Probably her first words. Come see a man. You can imagine what they're expecting. Come see a man. What's this? Husband number six? No, not that man. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. The good, the bad, the ugly. How could Jesus expose her like that unless he's the good shepherd? Unless he's going to pour into her life the balm of the oil of grace and mercy and goodness. Unless he's going to offer her forgiveness. A new start. Life in all its fullness. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, there was a man who was having treatment for a very serious illness. And the outlook wasn't great. But his faith in Christ just shone through him. And one of the nurses who was on duty wrote a rather critical comment in his medical notes. Inappropriately joyful. It's a challenge, isn't it? In our sadness, in our setbacks, in our sickness, to be inappropriately joyful in Christ, with that spring of water welling up to eternal life. Well, the blessings of salvation, the blessing of life in all its fullness. But of course, there is only one way, through the gate, through Christ, through the Saviour. The one who says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed the one and only gate for the sheep. And we are so grateful for his protection, for his guidance, for his salvation, and for that life in all its fullness that he offers. Lord, may we simply examine our hearts this morning and ensure that by your grace, we too have entered that gate of your kingdom through him, and we faithfully follow him. May your Holy Spirit guide us as we seek to live in the fullness of your love and to share this love with others. And may your Holy Spirit empower us to be faithful witnesses of Jesus, the gate, the Saviour. In our homes, in our communities, and indeed to the ends of the earth. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's continue in our worship, and we are going to sing of our Saviour. We'll sing together, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Spirit of the world, all love is gone.
we get the lights again, please? Thank you. So as we come to communion, it's a real joy to welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Danny and Cordelia Chong, into church membership here at SBC. We were really delighted to receive Danny and Cordelia into membership at our last church members meeting. So we want to commend them to your love and to your fellowship, and we want to ask that you will encourage them and build them up in the Lord. So let's hear some of the privileges and responsibilities of church membership as they are set out in God's word. Thank you, Mark. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So let's pray together. Let's commend Danny and Cordelia to the Lord and the family as well, of course. Let's pray. Father, we do indeed want to thank you so much for Danny, for Cordelia, for Sophelia, for Eleanor. Father, thank you so much for the way that you have guided them and led them. Thank you, Father, for bringing Danny and Cordelia to that point where they want to make that closer link with us through membership. Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you've worked in their lives. We want to, above all, commend them to you. Lord, we pray that you will encourage them. You will support them. You will always be with them. And we do pray, Father, that we will be a blessing to them as we indeed try and encourage them and build them up in the Lord. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you've given them. May they continue to seek to serve you in all the ways that you call them to do so. May you surround them with your love, and may you make your face shine upon them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So again, finally, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of our fellowship here, it's a real joy and privilege to welcome Danny and Cordelia into membership here at SBC. So this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come if you have much faith and if you have little. If you've been here often and if you've not been for a long time. If you've tried to follow and if you've failed. Come not because it's I who invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. And for our encouragement, words from the Gospels. Jesus said it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous but sinners. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We'll take a few moments for silent confession when we can come into God's presence. Just allow the Spirit to put his finger on anything within our lives that needs to be put right. And we'll just have a quiet time of private, personal confession that I'll invite us to say these words together. So let's just be still in God's presence. And let's say these words together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Father, these words are so familiar to us. We want to thank you for them. And especially, Lord, we want to thank you for the reminder that all that we do here is done in remembrance of Jesus. So help us to look back and remember. Help us to remember the death of your Son for us upon that cross, our servant King. Help us to look up and remember. To remember that we serve a risen Saviour, and the risen Saviour is amongst us this morning. Help us to look around and remember and rejoice. To remember and rejoice in our fellowship with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. And help us to look forward and remember our great and glorious future hope, the coming of your kingdom, the heavenly banquet, a renewed creation. May we look back and look forward, look around, look up, and remember Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Bread is gluten-free. The stewards will serve you in your seats. We eat the bread when we receive it. We keep the cups until we've all been served, then we'll drink together. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Let's continue in our worship as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, as we have looked back, looked around, looked up and looked forward, it's been our joy and privilege to remember Jesus. And particularly around this table, we are so conscious of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for the depth of your love, which we will never begin to fathom. But because we know how much you love us, Lord, it gives us confidence in our prayers. So once again, we want to pray for those in special need at this time. We pray for Elizabeth Bailey, who's in hospital at the moment. We also want to commend to your love George Bayliss and Harold Jinks. Pray again so much for Helen and for Joe. We commend to Eugene Bacon and Louise Farry. For Sue Gabrielson and Susie. For Marna, for Brian, for Angela, for Daphne. And Father, there are others who are on our hearts this morning. Thank you, Father, that you know all about them, that you love them even more than we do. So again, we just want to entrust them into your loving arms. Lord, will you be to them everything that they need? Will you draw near to them? Will you surround them with your love? Will you fill them with your peace? May they know the beauty of your presence. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing one final hymn as we close. We're going to sing, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son." And you know the words that come next, what Jesus did. Who yielded his life, an atonement for sin. And what did he open? The life gate. I am the gate. That all may go in. To God be the glory. Let's pray together. So, Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience you died on that cross for our salvation. So please give us the courage to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.